Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Sleep! That's where I'm a Viking!
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song!
Everything's a song!
Just take a look around you. Nothing can go wrong!
I thought you told me I wouldn't have to sing anymore. Aww. This is Luke.
And this is Carrie.
And welcome to episode of Bad Rapport.
Yes. What you been up to, Luke?
Oh, just plugging shit, mostly, you know.
Having those Luke Ski moments.
Having those Luke Ski moments. I live for Luke Ski moments. You know, plugging MarsCon, got to get MarsCon in there.
Yeah, I bet you do.
You know, MarsCon's coming up.
It is at that.
You coming to MarsCon?
I am.
I'm going to MarsCon.
As soon as I'm done menstruating.
Who else is going to MarsCon?
Well, I believe that that lovely worm quartet person is going, and that Devo Spice bastard, and some weenies and people.
Here's a segment called A Bunch of Shit That Luke's Brain Won't Shut Up About. MarsCon! 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 MarsCon!
Comedy musicians are dumb.
Yes, they are. And with that, every once in a while, every now and then, let's call Ken.
Yay!
Let's get Ken on the phone.
Hello, this is Mr. Sherlock speaking.
Ken!
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken. How you doing? You're on Bad Rapport with Luke and Carrie.
I know. This is scripted.
No, it's not.
No, not particularly. We're having a bad rapport.
Yeah, see?
Why did you just say rapport when it's spelled R-A-P-P-O-R-T?
Because the French are dumb.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. What are you doing calling me?
Apparently we called to complain about the French.
It's a segment we do on our show called Let's Call Ken because we think it's funny.
Oh,
it's funny.
Funny. Funny. I've heard of that. Normally, I just spend all my time playing Rock Band and complaining about things on Facebook.
Are you coming to MarsCon?
Yes.
I'm going to MarsCon. MarsCon's going to be awesome.
I am also going to MarsCon.
Hang on, I'm getting some weird thing.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I think there's something wrong with the computer.
I think
here.
There is, too. Okay,
hang up.
There, how's that?
All right, that's better.
Okay, good. Looks like we lost Ken. Well, that's all right. We were done talking to him. All right. So next on the outline for what we're doing with the show is I wanted to tell, calling back to when Sarah talked about the interesting dream I had where I was like, I had another really weird dream recently. I dreamt that, Sarah and I were out, somewhere and we ended up being part of, some kind of traveling touring road show of a live musical version of Disney's Aladdin. And it's like, you know those dreams where it's like you're figuring out what's happening in the dream as it's going along? So it was like, I was under the impression that I was supposed to be playing Aladdin. And I'm sitting here trying desperately to figure out all of Aladdin's lines from the movie, as I've seen it a bunch of times. Maybe I can pull this off because I've seen it enough, and I'm also trying to figure out really funny things to ad-lib, references to other Disney movies. They want to make me Sultan. No, they want to make Prince Ali Sultan. Well, I just can't wait to be king, you know. But then I find out that that I'm not supposed to play Aladdin, that the person who's playing the genie really can't sing. So instead of the genie singing the song Prince Ali, it's the genie does twiddly magic fingers, and I'm just some random street guy that he magicifies so that I'm suddenly singing about Prince Ali. So,
okay.
It was a really weird tour schedule. I think it was going to Rochester and the Wisconsin Dells, and it was just a really weird thing. So,
speaking of things that come to you in your dreams, my next Fump song, which is currently scheduled for mid-February but I think is getting changed to early March, is something that came to me in a dream. So hopefully that'll be a thing and will be hopefully funny. So what's up next?
Well, we're gonna get right into the first song here. All four of the songs I'm playing this evening are by the same artist, and yeah. So I hope you enjoy it. Here is I guess it would make more sense if I explained who it is and what this is, because we've changed the orders of the song now, and it wouldn't make sense now.
Okay.
It's Neil Patrick Harris. Everything in life is always better when you suddenly add a Neil Patrick Harris musical number into it. So this is from the Cartoon Network cartoon series called Batman the Brave and the Bold, in which Neil Patrick Harris plays a villain called the Music Meister, and the Music Meister sings this song during the episode, basically from the point of view of all the villains. So here is Neil Patrick Harris on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Here we go. Yay.
Batman. Always Batman. Always driving villains bats!
Has a sidekick, some boy wonder at his call. His utility belt holds everything, can't find that at the mall. The Batmobile is super fast, there is no car that is surpassed. It's a good thing we've got Arkham, cause he really drives us bats.
Drives us fast, drives us fast. He really drives us fast, fast, fast. He drives us fast.
Dancing the bat to see, or using an array of tools, he's always got the answers. He makes us look like fools. He's got no superpowers. He's just a flying rat. It's a good thing we got Arkham, cause he really drives us bats. World's greatest detective.
Foiling every evil scheme.
He drives us fast, fast, fast. He drives us fast.
Even without shock repellent,
he's tougher than he seems.
Other heroes often ask,
why is he always the top cat?
He drives us fast. He drives us fast.
Neil Patrick Harris with Drives Us Bats from Batman the Brave and the Bold. So, now it's time for Carrie's report on Confusion.
Oh, hey. At Confusion, I went to parties, and I went to Moonbeam's party, and Moonbeam had a party that was based on Kids in the Hall, and I've never really watched Kids in the Hall, but they were playing Brain Candy, and so... this weekend, me and Josh finished watching Brain Candy because we got interested in it at Moonbeam's party. So, thank you, Moonbeam. And at Moonbeam's party, they also had girl drink drunk drinks, and there was like about like 8 different girl drinks with crazy names like Pussy Juice and Tahitian Teehee, and I can't remember the other drinks' names, but there were. I tasted one, and it was good. And there was also pineapples and cherries on garnishes. And we went to Matt's party, and Matt and Tara were having a party for the launch of Pirate Ninja Zombie, the card game, available at gozergames.com or something like that. And they had a good party. They had 4 different drinks for... Pirate, Ninja, Zombie, and Mad Scientist. Basically, there's 4 main categories in the game, but the game name would be too long if they added the Mad Scientist part on there, onto the name. And I only went to one panel, I'm not going to talk about that, but it's more panels than I went to last year at Confusion. And I hung out with Bill Putt a lot, and we had swimming at night, and we went out to eat, and Ken was there, and things were fun. How was VisionCon?
VisionCon, the con staff was nice enough to make me their media guest of honor and fly myself and Sarah to the con due to, well, things at cons sometimes don't go the way they're supposed to. And they instead of getting us tickets to fly into Springfield, Missouri, they had us fly into St. Louis, and then we had to have someone, they've sent someone to pick us up to drive us the 3-hour and 20-minute drive from St. Louis to Springfield.
Oh, jeez.
Which makes me wonder why they didn't fly us into Kansas City, because I think that would have only been like a 2.5-hour drive. But
yeah.
So basically that meant that we were kind of, you know, rushing to get there because I had a show that was at 11, and, you know, I basically, no, not 11, I meant to say 7. And
7 at night.
7 at night, yeah, and you know, I basically got to the convention about 6:30.
Oh.
You know, so we got to the room, the Browncoats were performing on stage, who I met at Archon, and, you know, they're a good band. They do a nice rockin' version of The Hero of Canton and, you know, stuff, and I had met them there. Apparently some members of the band, you know, have seen my name and didn't know how it was pronounced, because as soon as I stand in the doorway when they're between songs, they're like, "Hey, and our next act is here, it's the great Luke Sky! Give it up for Luke Sky!"
Like that's never happened before.
But since this guy was saying it to a large group of people, for the first half of the weekend, everybody was coming up and addressing me as Luke Sky. And this one person who was from the Browncoats had like a little vid camera, and like the following day after my concert, he was like, "Hey, Luke Sky, how's it going, Luke Sky? It's Luke Ski. Hey, you want to be in my video, Luke Sky? I'll be in your video if you pronounce my name right." And he's like, "What?" And I happen to have my caricature paper in front of me, so I'm like, "Okay, here, start rolling. Here, I'll show you how it works." And he starts rolling, and I got out of a Sharpie, and I'm like, "Okay, S-K-Y spells sky." And I'm drawing as I'm doing this. I'm drawing like, "And so the sky has clouds, and it has the sun, and there's birdies, and an airplane, and S-K-Y, sky. S-K-I spells ski. And those are," and I draw two skis, "planks of wood that go on the feet of a man stick figure. And then you're going down a hill, and then I draw a tree. You hit a tree and die because you're Sonny Bono. So that sky, ski. And that's the way it is here at VisionCon in Springfield, Missouri, 2010. And then cut off. So what that dude may have done with that video, he may have put it on YouTube, I have no clue. But
that would be nice if he did.
Yeah, so so the Friday night concert seemed fairly well attended. I think there was about 30 people there. Willie's Wenches were there, which Ken has seen and Josh has seen.
I don't think Ken saw them very long. He saw them briefly.
Okay. Well, they did like 3 or 4 shows at Gen Con. I caught a couple of them. And it's a really...
I could be wrong.
It's a really funny, hilarious show. And it's basically, you know, Reduced Shakespeare Company is like 3 guys. It's like if Reduced Shakespeare Company was 1 guy and 3, you know, hot Renfair wenchy girls, you know, doing much more modern references in their treatises of Shakespeare and stuff. So, you know, they have, like, a show based primarily on Hamlet. They have a show where it's, like, Hamlet versus Macbeth. And they have a show where it's, like, a cross between Midsummer Night's Dream and, like, horror movies. They call it, like, Midsummer Nightmare on Elm Street the 13th or something like that. So they were there doing their shows. And they were, like, you know, completely packing the rooms. And everyone, you know, was hooting and hollering over them. And they're really cool people. And they were at the table next to ours in the dealer room. So their big plan was they had written a parody of Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl called I Kissed a Nerd. And they had a preliminary mix of it done, and their big plan was to rent one of the bigger suites in the hotel so that they could set up cameras and stuff and shoot scenes for a music video for I Kissed a Nerd, trying to mimic Katy Perry's original video as much as they could. So they asked me if I wanted to be involved, and I'm like, "Yeah, sure, that'd be cool." So they were kind of doing it in like a little scheduled thing, taking groups of people in costumes down, you know, like once an hour at a time to like, you know, shoot like, you know, 5 to 10 people at once so that it didn't just turn into like a huge long line.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there, and it was really cool. And there was, you know, there were Ghostbusters, there were Star Wars people, there was, you know, just the usual band of convention-type peoples. And they got a lot of great footage. And, you know, I was trying to, like, you know, not, like, take over or anything like that, but just be like, if I thought of a funny thing, I'm like, hey, Bostwick, you should, you know, have this happen or whatever. And, you know, just kind of throw suggestions into the mix. So, you know, I'm appearing in the video as myself, so I decided to, since, you know, there's a lot of the general public who doesn't know who the hell I am, you know, I'd just be some guy. I decided to make my thing, like, I'd pull out my phone, and, like, no matter, you know, I'm always, you know, texting. You know, so it's like, I'm the guy who's always, you know, dicking with his, you know, high-tech phone. Because I am always the guy dicking with his high-tech phone. So, you know, we got some great footage, and they're working on the video. I don't know when it's going to be finished, but they're working on the final mix of the song, too. So they're planning on posting it at the Fump Sideshow and then, you know, putting out the video. So
nice.
And I told them, you know, we'll give the, you know, pass the MP3 along to me, and I can pass it along to Dr. Demento and, you know, hopefully try to get them some airplay.
Oops. Sorry, item.
Do you need that right away?
No.
Okay.
So I forgot to mention probably the highlight of the Confusion weekend was sitting down with Bill and Moonbeam and, you know, Josh and Megan and Jingles and Ben and Dan and Jason and Karen and Anne Marie and that other guy and that one other guy, Chris and Narf Boy and Matt and Ken and lots and lots of people in the lobby of the con on Saturday recorded Bill Moonbeam's Pot of Destiny. Did you listen to it yet?
I have not listened to it yet. I've been very busy. I'm sorry, I haven't listened to the new Scope either. And in fact, I'm behind on Mishki, too. I've been reading a book. Dig that.
You'll get the reference later. So, okay. No, yeah, that was probably the highlight of the weekend. That was a good time. Ironically, even though I call it the highlight of the weekend, I left early because I wanted to go nap, which didn't happen. But, yeah, that you should definitely go listen to the Pot of Destiny because I'm in it.
Yeah. To finish off my report, the weekend ended where there was a scheduling mishap, and because the show that I was supposed to do at noon didn't start until 1:17, and I needed to leave to get, you know, to get in the car with Sarah and the driver and head all the way back to St. Louis to catch our plane back. You know, we need to be out of there by like 2:15 at the latest to be on the safe side. So I ended up having to cut a couple songs for my show. So I ended up, like, showing up just in time to do a show, and then doing a show, and then leaving. And, you know, in the interim, I really didn't make a lot of money there. I had a lot of fun. They're a nice group of people, and they seemed interested in having me back again next year. So I'd certainly, you know, consider it. And if you live within driving distance of VisionCon, you know, I'd recommend the con. So, yeah. And, yeah.
Okay, what's next?
What's next? Oh, another song. And a bathroom break for you.
Oh, so, bathroom break.
So here's another song by Neil Patrick Harris from How I Met Your Mother. I should explain the premise of this scene going into it. His character Barney, who is a total womanizer, Dan Fielding type of character, is trying to, you know, basically hook up and have sex with this new bartender at their bar. But she hates guys who wear suits, and he totally loves wearing suits. So for the whole episode, he's wearing casual jeans and T-shirts, which he never wears, and it's kind of bothering him. But he finally gets up to the woman. He finally gets the woman up to his apartment, and as they're about to make things happen, she accidentally walks into his closet and sees that he still has all these suits. So that's what happens. So here is Neil Patrick Harris from How I Met Your Mother. Here we go.
I'm gonna make you feel all better. Let me just go freshen up.
All right.
Oh, wait, no, that's not the bathroom.
Are these yours?
I'm suit-sitting for someone.
Barney, you lied to me. You have to choose. Right now. Me or the suits?
I know what you're thinking. What's Barney been drinking? That girl was smoking hot. Yes, I could have nailed her, but no, it's not a failure, because there's one thing she is not. To score a 10 would be just fine, but I'd rather
be dressed to the nines. It's a truth you can't refute. Nothing suits me like a suit. Picture a world where all the boys and girls are impeccably well-dressed. That delivery guy in a jacket and tie, that puppy in a double breast, that 80s dude with mutton chops, that baby with a lollipop, that lady cop who's kinda cute. Nothing suits them like a suit. Wingman I can wear, they're oh so debonair, the perfect way to snare a girl. Shoes in navy blue or black. Check out this perfect rack. I want to give them a squeeze.
Oh, really?
Then answer these questions, if you please.
What would you do if you had to choose between your suits and a pot of gold?
Suits.
What would you say if you gave your suits away and in return you'd never grow old?
Suits.
What would you pick, 1 million chicks or a single three-piece suit?
It's moot.
What if little piece were within your reach?
I'm going to stop you right there. It's suits. Come on, Lily. Get your head out of your ass.
2, 3, 4!
Girls will go and girls will come, but there's only one absolute. Every bro on the go needs to know that there's no accepted substitute.
I'm sorry, suits, let's make amends. My Sunday best are my best friends. Send casual Friday down the laundry chute.
'Cause nothing suits the undisputed, absolute suit.
For it.
Suit.
Then again, she is pretty hot.
I choose you, baby. First thing tomorrow, I'm getting rid of these suits.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are fun.
And now it's time for...
by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, 'cause it makes it so that means it to incriminate.
Dictionaries have been removed.
That's the wrong story.
A Washington County hairstylist will spend at least 5 years in prison for shooting a dissatisfied client in the lower back. 40-year-old Monique Reed was convicted in May on aggravated assault and other charges in the March 6, 2008 shooting of 28-year-old Lauren Newton. Police say Ms. Reed shot Ms. Newton when she scuffled with the customer and her sister about a hair weave Ms. Reed did for Ms. Newton. Ms. Newton has recovered from her wound. Ms. Reed says she fired 2 shots because the Ms. Newton sisters jumped her and she didn't realize a .38 caliber could be considered a deadly weapon. It's possible that Ms. Reed's sentence could be increased to as much as 20 years, but that shouldn't be a problem for her. She's used to dealing with extensions.
Police in Hempfield Township, Pennsylvania, reported a bizarre gas station robbery in Westmoreland County. Gino Conti, 31, walked into the Shell gas station on Route 30 and asked for a box of cigarettes. When the clerk turned around, police said Conti pulled out a fork and demanded money. Police said that there was no money in the cash register, so Conti grabbed the cigarettes and left. Police caught up with Conti a short time later. He faces several charges, including robbery and simple assault. No one was hurt when Conti pulled the fork out. Ironically, Conti will most likely end up in prison, where he will be required to toss men's salads.
dictionaries have been removed from classrooms in Southern California schools after a parent complained about a child reading the definition for oral sex. Merriam-Webster's 10th edition, which has been used for the past few years in 4th and 5th grade classrooms in Menifee Union School District, has been pulled from shelves over fears that the sexually graphic entry is just not age-appropriate, according to the area's local paper. The dictionary's online definition of the term is oral stimulation of the genitals. It's hard to sit and read the dictionary, but we'll be looking to find other things of a graphic nature, district spokeswoman Betty Cadmus told the paper. Cadmus will soon be lobbying to have the letters S, E, and X removed from the alphabet, stating that kids should learn about the birds and the bees the way all good Americans learn, by sneaking into the living room at 3 a.m. and watching Cinemax.
And finally, in Scotland, William Shaw, 21, has been ordered by a court not to enter Central Park in Airdrie after he allegedly tried to have sex with a tree. It is alleged he dropped his pants and underpants and exposed himself while on the visitor attraction in September last year. It is claimed he then tried to have sex with the tree while his trousers were around his ankles. Shaw, of Airdrie, pleaded not guilty to an act of public indecency at the town sheriff's court. Sheriff Frank Pieri released Shaw on bail on the condition that he stays away from Central Park. Last night, Shaw was unavailable to discuss the allegations at his flat. He had to get to bed so that he could be up early for his morning wood. Sure, he may branch out eventually and try to date a woman, but he's never been a bush man. She'd probably tell him he's barking up the wrong... Well, you know, I could go on.
Don't. People are stupid, and once again, they've proven it.
In my plants! Ha!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Larry! I said in my plants! Yeah, I know, it's funny!
Okay. That's a thing.
It is indeed a thing.
It's been 20 days since we did that.
Yes.
That's the,
Why didn't we do a show last week?
Because I was sick.
Yay! I mean, boo!
You were sick the week before that, weren't you?
Yeah, but that wasn't when we were scheduled to record.
It's just a topic of conversation, Luke.
Okay.
Not trying to start any shit.
Anyway. So, yeah, I was going to talk about the whole Jay Leno Conan thing. Do you have
yes.
any... Yeah.
Well, I am a big Conan fan and not so big on the Leno fandom. I used to watch Leno when I was younger, but I used to watch him a lot, actually. I used to watch a lot of Carson when I was a lot younger. But ultimately, it comes down to Conan is my favorite late-night host, or was. I used to watch a lot of Letterman, also. Letterman was the one I'd watch the most of, but... Yeah, I was really sad and disheartened about all that. And did you hear Leno's going on Oprah?
No, I didn't.
It's like, yeah, I heard from Smite Boy that Leno's going to be appearing on Oprah, you know, assumedly in a, you know, attempt to convince the world that he's a nice guy, regular Joe, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, from what I've heard, he's just trying to play it up like, hey, I'm just a company man, I'm just doing what NBC wants, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, well, here's the thing, like, why it's so... It's like there's an extra subtextual layer of disappointment, you know, for me, because I actually met Jay Leno when I was in high school. I don't know if I ever told you this story.
I'm not sure. You'll have to tell me okay. the story for me to remember.
Well, here's the story.
I think I must have, because I recall seeing you a picture of you.
In here. Yeah, well, back in the late 80s, you know, that was like this, like the height of this... stand-up comedy craze. There were tons of comedians constantly appearing on talk shows and with HBO comedy specials and putting out albums and stuff like that. And, you know, I was doing my best just to soak it all in as much as I could. And back in those days, Jay Leno was just a touring stand-up comic, and he was really one of the best and funniest, and I really looked up to him and admired him. And, you know, Carson was hosting The Tonight Show, and Letterman had, you know, late night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I totally loved staying up to watch late night. And, in fact, like, the best, the total awesome kick-ass nirvana for me, like, you know, in my, you know, young days was, it would be Friday night,
It would be viewer mail night on Late Night with Dave Letterman, and his main guest would be Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like the two of them sitting there riffing back and forth. It was like so gloriously awesome and funny. This one time, Jay Leno brought in like a big old like Italian meat hoagie sandwich that he had bought down in the street, and so he's eating the sandwich while they're doing the interview. And they were, you know, back when Jay and Dave were friends, and it was just freaking awesome. So he was touring like 300 cities a year. My dad, in an attempt to, you know, connect with me and bond, asked me if I wanted to, if I would be interested in him buying tickets for him and I to go see Jay Leno perform at the Riverside in Milwaukee as a birthday gift. And I said yes. So we went to see him. Now, the magazine Nintendo Power hadn't been around too long at that point. And in every issue, they would do like a, oh, celebrity, you know, who plays Nintendo? Like, kind of, you know, like, what? Celebrities play video games? Yes, it is. You know, it's true. So there was an issue where they did a thing with Jay Leno, and he talked about, you know, he had an NES that he brought with him on the road, and he played Excitebike and stuff like that. So, you know, I wrote Jay Leno a fan letter and, you know, mentioned that interview and, you know, saying that I was, you know, wanting to be a comedian when I grew up and blah, blah, blah. You know, this was like freshman year of high school for me. Uh-huh. So that would have been late 88, early 89. I think it happened like, yeah, well, it was a birthday thing. It would have been early 89. We go to try to see if we can get backstage, and we can't. There's an usher dude, and we're like, oh, well, can you please take this letter and give it to Jay Leno? And they're like, oh, sure. So that, you know, we go home. The next day, phone rings. Luke, it's for you. I answer the phone. Hello? Hey, is this Luke? Yeah. Yeah, this is Jay Leno. And I'm like, So I talked to him on the phone for a few minutes. And then at one point I'm like, Mom? Yeah, Jay Leno's on the phone, you know. So, I talked to him for a few minutes and he was really cool. He told me he appreciated the letter and he was being really encouraging. And if any of you are familiar at all with what happened in the big Jay versus Dave for the Tonight Show thing, Jay used to have this really, you know, this manager that did some really questionable things at best. This woman, I forgot her name, but I didn't learn any of this about her until after all that crap went down. But he's like, oh, well, here's the number for my manager. The next time you see I'm going to be in Milwaukee, give her a call and we'll get tickets for you and your family.
Wow.
So the next, like about a year later, he came back and we got 6 tickets, and I think my sister ended up not going for some reason, so I got my friend Joe Cortese from Comedy Sports to come.
Okay.
And he wore our Comedy Sports sweatshirt to the thing, and afterwards we got to go backstage and meet Jay and hang out with him. And, you know, I remember my dad, you know, because Desert Storm had just happened, and my dad was like, oh, I know you went over there for the USO and, you know, performed for the soldiers out there in Desert Storm. God bless you, sir, for doing such a wonderful thing. He's like, oh, no problem and everything. And we got a photo of me and my friend Joe Cortese and Jay, and then we gave a copy of that to Joe, and then Joe took it to the Comedy Sports Club where they hung it up on the wall.
Yeah.
And like a year or two ago, when I went to their newest club, just because I hadn't been there, I wanted to see what it looked like, and they still have that up on their like wall of celebrity pictures.
In Kansas City?
No, in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee? Oh, yeah. Nice.
So, and then there was another picture where like JT and Mike were there, and they were little young kids at the time, and Jay's like, oh, here, I know how to handle kids, and he kind of grabs them each by the scruff of the neck and does a look on his face like, yeah, you know, kind of like, I'll show these kids what for. And so it's like him doing that with JT and Mike, and understanding there was the big old dopey high school awkward, you know, pubescent grin like, yeah, with JJ Leno, you know, and that picture ended up in the paper in Lake Geneva. So yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, so then basically after that, I may have tried to write him once or twice or whatever, you know, when I was still like first learning to become a stand-up comic and all that stuff, you know, but it's because of that to this day, my mom will occasionally, every so often, just say to me, you know, well, I don't understand why you don't just try to get a hold of Jay Leno so he'll put you on his show.
Like he like would never do.
Well, you know, I don't think it's that he would have completely forgotten who I am. It's just like, that's really not the way it's done in Hollywood. And I'm way, way beyond the, oh, look at the cute, you know, how old was I freshman year? I guess that would be 14. You know, look at the cute 14-year-old who wants to be a stand-up comic. And, like, that whole angle is long since gone.
Yeah.
Now I'm just some other pudgy Midwestern, you know, hey, I'd like to get some, you know, get on your TV show just like everybody else in Hollywood. So, you know, plus I don't really have a stand-up act that really is conducive to it. It's like, without being Weird Al himself, it's hard to be like, hey, I do parody songs or funny music.
I always thought you should go on Conan. I mean,
well, yeah.
I was always, like, convinced back in the days when I was, like, your number one fangirl and all that, I was convinced that you would be able to get a slot on Conan.
Well, here's the weird thing. Weird Al was on the Carson show with Johnny Carson, and he's appeared at least once to do music on Jay Leno's Tonight Show.
Yeah.
He's never been asked to appear on Letterman or Conan or Saturday Night Live.
Well, fuck them.
So, but he was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon within Jimmy's first year, because Jimmy Fallon loves Al.
Nice.
Jimmy Fallon opened for Al. So, in fact, the episode Jimmy, like, took a moment out of his show just to be like, hey, I just want to mention, I've been looking up to this guy my whole life. I'm so psyched to be here. He took a whole minute or two of airtime to explain, why this is such a big deal to him. I think the other guests on that night were Ed Norton and Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Which was interesting because it was Hulk Hogan and the guy who played the Hulk in the Incredible Hulk movie. Anyway, so back to the thing. So basically it's like, when all that shit went down with Jay and Dave, you know, it was a real shame because I liked both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leno, you know, really was one of the best touring stand-up comics. He was really hilarious. And, you know, it's just so shitty that all that went down, and then Dave went to ABC and got his show, and, you know, 16 years go by, and, you know, well, Leno, okay, Conan, the first few years of his show were really rough. He didn't really quite have a groove yet, you know?
I saw the first week, and I thought it was so horrible that it was at least a year or three before someone else convinced me to give it a second chance.
Yeah. It's like something finally clicked and he really got his groove and the audience was like, oh, I get it, you know. And
yeah. He's so blessed that he survived that first year without getting canceled.
Yeah. You know? So it's like, you know, Conan really, you know, made Late Night his own. You know, really kicked ass with it. And, you know, then it came 5 years ago. You know, it's like NBC made that deal, like saying, okay, Jay, well, we want to keep you for 5 more years, but we also want to make sure we keep Conan around, so we're going to have him take over the Tonight Show in 5 years. And, you know, Jay was cool with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Or so it seemed.
Or so it seemed. And if you've seen that clip that was posted, I think collegehumor.com or something reposted of, like,
Jay, I did watch that.
Saying all these great things. And then, you know, so when Jay penned his deal to do that, the Jay Leno show at 10... You know, in our time zone, it would be 9. You know, the prime time Jay Leno show.
Yeah,
it's like he worked it into his contract that if they tried to, you know, cancel him or kick him off the air within the first 2 years, I believe it was, that NBC would have to pay Jay Leno $150 million.
Wow.
So basically, you know, and so now Conan starts the Tonight Show. Conan's ratings aren't as high as Jay's in that same slot because his lead-in is the Jay Leno show, and even though the Jay Leno show is getting higher ratings than the Tonight Show when Jay hosted it, it's still getting lower ratings than, you know, Law and Order, Yakety Schmackety, or whatever the hell else they had in that time slot before. Mm-hmm. So NBC starts freaking the fuck out, and then, you know, that's when they tried to do that thing like, well, we'll move the Jay Leno show, we'll make it a half hour, put it back in the Tonight Show slot, so then those ratings will go back up, and then we'll just move it, you know, it's
and then we'll move the Tonight Show to the half hour later, and it will become the Tomorrow Morning Show.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, and I'm not the first person to express this. I heard Patton Oswalt, you know, mention this in an interview, just that it's so it's such a bummer, because, like, why couldn't you just had Class J? You got enough money. You know, you have so much freaking money right now.
Yeah.
You could have just said, you know what, forget the $150 million. I'm just going to bow out because Conan's, you know, literally been building towards this for 16 years. Conan really deserves it.
Yeah, you know? And I watched The Tonight Show at least the first couple of weeks. I saw some of it during our honeymoon. So that really, actually, one of my, I got a stuffed animal during our honeymoon, a really skinny pig. A really, really tall, long, skinny pig with really long arms that you hook onto things, and it has a t-shirt with a barrel on some water, and it says Niagara Falls, and I named him Conan.
So it's like, oh. So, yeah, so basically to see Conan get screwed like this, and then, you know, they worked, the NBC did their contract release deal with Conan, and Conan got $45 million. So basically,
yeah.
NBC saved themselves $105 million by, choosing to screw over Conan.
Millions of viewers. I mean, I wasn't watching anything on NBC anyways, but now I'm definitely not turning on NBC. Yeah.
I mean,
I know
it's
you
like.
I still will, but I'm not going to.
I still will just because I think of guys like, well, Dan Harmon, you know, who created Community. It's like, why should I not watch his awesome show just because other people at NBC suck, you know? So I'm still, the other shows I'm still watching on NBC are Heroes, Chuck, Community, Parks and Recreation, The Office, and 30 Rock, and Saturday Night Live. Those are my, oh, and Saturday Night Live ripped NBC really bad for what, it's like they are totally on Conan's side. Seth Meyers came out and they shot a picture of Conan. It's like, this week on, you know, This week on non-cable television, or no, what was it? This week you didn't have to have cable television to watch a man get screwed on television. And Seth Meyers went into this big long bit, like explaining, you know, I won't even try to do it. Yeah. But it was they really kind of came out and said, yeah, NBC kind of fucking sucks for this bullshit.
And David Letterman's just sitting back laughing at it all.
Yes.
He's not taking sides, and he's just...
Because it's like way back when that shit went down with Jay and Dave, I was trying to be sympathetic to both sides, but now to see that Jay couldn't,
screwed over yet
because Jay couldn't have the class to say, forget the $150 million and walk away. You know, he didn't have the class to do that, so it's like, fine, fuck it. You know, everyone's been right all along. Dave should have been the host of The Tonight Show, and Conan should still to this day be the host of The Tonight Show. It's so fucking disappointing.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Jay Leno anymore. My TiVo forever.
Yeah, I doubt... So like I said, it's like knowing my past history with, you know, Jay was so cool to me, he was so nice, he was so, you know, supportive, and, you know, such a cool dude. It's like, what happened to that Jay Leno in the past, whatever, 20 years? It just sucks.
Yeah,
it really sucks.
Basically, anything you read, you know, while Jay's sitting there trying to explain what a normal, average Joe, you know, down-to-earth good guy he is, you know, everybody else is saying he's a dick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope he looks like a fool on Oprah, and I hope he looks like a fool on his new Tonight Show, and I hope the ratings flop so bad that they end up, like...
Because, like, what are they going to do in another... How much... I mean, like, Carson was on there for 29 years. So, what was 29 minus 16? 7? No. I can do 29 math.
29 minus 16?
13.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, how many more... 13 more years of Jay Leno on The Tonight Show? Is that what he's shooting for, to beat Johnny's record? And does that even count? Because, you know, frickin' Conan was on there for 7, you know, months. So, it's... I doubt this will happen, but I would love it if Conan appeared on The Late Show. That would be, like, the coolest thing ever. If Conan
on Letterman?
If Conan went on Dave's show and they had a nice, you know, chit-chat.
That would be so... That would get so many...
But I hope that, you know, ABC has no interest in trying to get Conan. I hope Fox will do something, you know, and have a Conan show.
We won't find out till September.
Yeah.
We love you, Conan.
We love Conan.
Peace.
Coco! Twitter tracker! I put on my Twitter, NBC has the best executives for me to poop on with the hash mark, I'm with Coco, and like some of the other Coco Twitterers like retweeted that, so that was pretty
cool.
That
reminds me, I met, what's his name?
Robert Smigel, who plays Triumph the Insult Comma Dog.
through my infinite celebrity connections, I met Robert Smigel at Comic-Con in San Diego in 2006.
Six, I think that was.
Yes.
So, yes. All right. I guess it's time for another song.
Okay. For the guy that you have a totally non-gay man crush on.
I have a totally non-gay man crush on Neil Patrick Harris.
Who is totally gay.
Yes.
And we love him for it.
And this song is from Sesame Street, in which Neil Patrick Harris played a character, the Shoe Fairy. Not fairy as in homosexual, but fairy as in, like... the Tooth Fairy, or the fairy godmother that grants wishes. So
wow.
he is, you know, people need shoes, and he goes to their feet, and shoes magically appear.
Is he dressed in, like, a little tutu?
He's dressed in, like, a beige suit, and he has wings.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
I can't believe they got away with that on Sesame Street.
Yep. So here is Neil Patrick Harris with his song Shoes on Bad Rapport. Here we go.
What kind of shoes do you have?
What kind of shoes do I have? Kid, I got them all.
You say you need a shoe.
Well, maybe even two.
A pair will do, perhaps a few. Have I got shoes for you? I got shoes you wear to stroll. And I got shoes you wear to bowl. To score a goal or ride a foal, my shoes, they have real soul.
Hey, what happened to my shoes?
I got shoes that make you hop.
Hop!
I got shoes that help you mop.
Mop?
Let's not stop about high tops or polka dot flip-flops. Shoes that come with snaps. Shoes that come with straps. Shoes with flaps, or perhaps some shoes that come with tacks.
Shoes, 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 shoes. Shoes, 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 shoes.
My song is almost through. Time is overdue, so get a clue. This is your cue. Come on now, pick a shoe. Well, I got shoes for you.
Shoes, 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 shoes.
Shoes.
And now it's time for what?
Carrie tells stories about work.
So, today I called a client, and I have to be really nice and sweet to the client, so I was praising myself on how I was like, okay, thanks, Kat, have a good day, bye. And then after I hung up, I remembered her name was Christine, not Kat.
Ah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yes.
And then there was the time when, now I'm going to be paraphrasing, when I picked up the phone to call a health insurance, and the number I dialed played an automated voice, not automated, but a recorded voice that said, if you're looking for a good time, and then I hung up the phone because for some reason I had a feeling it wasn't a health insurance. So those are my funny stories.
Okay. Have you thought of anything for what would you do if yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Want me to go first?
Yeah, because I don't think I have anything.
You'll think of something. So, if I had time to do things, I would sew. I would sew so many things. I would sew costumes. I would stitch, cross-stitch, which I have so many cross-stitch kits that I never do because I never have time. I would primarily cross-stitch and costumes. And whatever other kind of sewing. I was learning knitting for a little while there, but I gave that up because I don't have time. So, what would you do if you had time?
This is kind of meta, but what I would do was figure out what I would do. And what I mean by that is, I came to kind of a realization in the past couple of weeks. Because there's certain pieces of comedy, like, okay, House Party at Arkham Asylum. I had the idea for that song like 5 years before I did it.
Wow.
And MC Freeberg, that was like 6 years. So, like, there's some song ideas I get, and it's just like, oh, it'd be awesome if I could do that. And they just end up sitting, like, on the back burner for so long. And then finally, I'm able to get it together and make it happen.
Yeah.
So, I figured out recently, I just started thinking about it, and I realized that I don't know if I have too many more of those left, if any, on my, you know, kind of ever, you know, changing list of song ideas. Like, that notion of like, oh, this is something I've been, you know, it's in the bank, it's something I'm going to really do this awesome thing. And I don't know if I have any of those anymore. I mean, I have song ideas, but they're all, you know, relatively recent song ideas.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I've been, you know, hankering to do that's been, like, waiting around for years to do, I think I've done them all.
I'm glad you waited on Arkham Asylum, because I don't think you would have had the skills to make it as awesome 5 years
Yeah, I thought of that song about the same time I did Baby Got Brack. So that was like 98, and that didn't come out until 2003. So, but yeah, so it's like, what I want to do is I've, you know, traditionally always kept notebooks where I had lists of song ideas, and when I moved, I always, you know, make sure that I, you know, kept track of them all, kept them all in the same place or whatever. So one of the things I need to do is I want to sit down and go through all those notebooks and look at all of my old ideas, all of the time where I had a page like song ideas. I'm going to go through those lists, like basically in search of forgotten ideas that still might be plausible or still might have some comedic, you know, like I had, there's some ideas that I'm going to completely ignore and throw out the window, like off the top of my head. I had an idea to do a parody of the song "I'm My Own Grandpa" about the TV show Melrose Place.
Yes. I don't think that'll go over too well.
And that Doodles Weaver style original tune that was going to be about the O.J. Simpson trial probably not really going to fly. You know, so some ideas
that would have been great at the time.
Yes. So basically, it's like, you know, there are some ideas that I'm going to be like, all right, forget that. I'm going to be looking for the little diamonds in the rough that got left behind and figure out, like, okay, you know, which of these things might still be viable today.
If there's some other, you know, high-profile trial, and I don't think there's been a high-profile trial, like, to that extent since, but if there's another one in the future, you could pull that out and use it for that.
I don't know.
It's a good idea.
So basically, I want to go through, if I had the time, I'd go through all those notebooks, find all those ideas, and make a new list of the ideas that time forgot, and then figure out what to do with them. Maybe,
and then you could finally purge out the old and get on with the fresh.
The fresh,
as Paul and Storm say. That's why you like doing comments at the beginning, because you want to get out the old and get on to the fresh.
Yeah.
But we didn't do the comments at the beginning at my insistence, so we're going to do them at the end. Listeners.
Yes. So, yeah. All right. Well, here's... this may be a new segment. It kind of ties into that whole thing. It's... You know, mentioning that whole thing with the Iron Whirly gig and, you know, the crazy thing from the last episode. A segment... This may become a recurring thing called... Things Only Luke Remembers.
Okay.
And let me preface this by saying, yes, I know I could do a Google search, JFGI, just fucking Google it. Yes, I know I could go to YouTube and enter things and try to find it. To me, that's not nearly as fun as me describing something to you that I remember to find out if you, without having to use the internet, remember it too.
Oh, I have one like that I'm gonna do when you're done.
Okay.
But for now I'm gonna stand because this wooden chair is hurting my ass.
Okay. So basically, you know, if you, especially if you remember it on your own without having to use the internet, I want to hear back from you. And if you don't remember it at all and you decide, hey, I'll look it up on the internet for Luke so that I can say, go to this page and you'll find proof of this existence, like that one person did, I forgot his name, I'm sorry, who said, oh, here's a page with the information about the Iron Whirly gig, you know, which I completely love to have found. That made me so happy. You know, so, yeah, that's what this segment will be about. I'll talk about things, and then I'll find out from your feedback whether or not you remember it or whether or not you decided to take it on your own to research
it. Right?
Yes, you can do it, too.
Okay. Because so, I got one that I actually can't Google, and that's why I'm going to get the listeners involved.
So, all right, this, what year was this? This had to have been, like, 86-ish. There was a syndicated TV show. So it wasn't like ABC, NBC. It wasn't like, you know, it was like syndicated. So, you know, UHF Channel 62 could be carrying it because it was just a half-hour show sent to whatever stations. And a handful of the, you know, like WVTV 18 in Milwaukee or WFLD 32 in Chicago, you know, would show this type of show like on a Sunday afternoon at about 5:30. It was, and, you know, MTV was really popular back then. This was a show called FTV, as in the sixth letter of the alphabet, FTV. And what FTV was a troupe of kind of sketchy comedy-type people who basically would take pop songs of the day and then kind of create little intro-outro bits and then, like, do essentially, you know, lip syncs you know, on these, like, you know, Hollywood sound stages, you know, but not even like that. I'm saying Hollywood soundstage makes it sound like they had a budget. It was, you know, just some soundstage somewhere where they, you know, could build little quick Saturday Night Live knockoff sets and then do things. So the one, I'm trying to remember any of the songs they lip synced. One was they did a parody of the Smurfs called the Snurds, I think they were called, and they lived in like a little tiny house, and they had like the house in the middle of a highway. So you see like a shot of outside their house, and it's like a cheesy green screen effects, and there's like cars driving by, you know. So then they began to lip sync the song "Our House." In the middle of the street, our house. You know, get it? Because they're in a little house in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
You're watching FTV.
Wow.
Another one I remember, this might have been slightly more clever, was like kind of, you know, a year or two maybe after We Are the World, they did another, they were trying to do like a parody of, oh, we're, you know, Cyndi Lauper, Bob Dylan, and I don't know, maybe one or two other, you know, pop singers who maybe at that specific moment in time didn't have a big hit, so they were seeming like, oh, they're not, you know, they're not Michael Jackson, they're, you know, soon to be on the way out or whatever was their point. And so then they were trying to be like they're doing another We Are the World thing, but instead the song is We Built This City on Rock and Roll, you know. And, you know, and the other thing was they called it FTV. They never said what the F stood for. I'm guessing, like, you know, in their pitch meeting, whatever, to the network, they were like, oh, it's like MTV, but it's funny, so it's FTV, you know, and then, you know, so it was this syndicated show. I have no idea how long it lasted. Probably not too freaking long. But it's, once again, I remember it. I don't know if anybody else does. So that's thing one. I have a second one, but if you want to jump in with yours, go ahead.
Well, mine isn't so much something from, like, the distant past that I remember. It's more a song that I need to figure out who the title and artist is. Basically, on the way home from, well, I have to backtrack. So there's this special guy at work, and special guy really likes having pizza parties whenever he wins $500 at the casino. And so he has an after-work pizza party, and me and Josh kind of feel obligated to go because you want to be nice to special guy. So, you know, we're all, like, super nonplussed about going to special guy's party. So to make fun of that, I would be like, we're gonna party! Ooh, ooh. And I keep going with my hands up in the air, and I'm gonna, we're going to the pizza party! Ooh, ooh. Josh like kind of glommed onto that, and then he does his version and goes, ooh, ooh. Or it's, I can't even do it as hilariously awful as he does it, like the worst sounding falsetto you've ever heard in your entire life. And we've started using that for other occasions that we're not excited about. So anyways, so I never really knew what song that was from until we were in Chili's. Me, Josh, and Ken were in Chili's on Sunday night, a week ago Sunday, on the way home from Confusion. And I'm in the bathroom trying to clean some food off my shirt, and I hear the song, and there's some guy singing, and then some girls going, ooh, 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 ooh. And see, I can't even not, as Luke is witnessing, I can't do the sound without doing the hand motion, the raising the roof hand motion. Anyways, so I come out of the bathroom, and I'm like, Josh, they're playing it, you have to listen. They're not doing it right now, but they're going to do it again. I'm sure they're gonna go, ooh, 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 you have to listen. And he's like, okay. And so then I rushed back into the bathroom so I could finish doing what I was doing, and sure enough, it came on again, and I came back out, and they were too busy dealing with the check to pay any attention at all to the song. So now I have to find out the title and artist so that I can play the song for Josh.
And the only lyrics you're aware of are...
That's why I can't Google it.
Okay. Well, there you go, listeners. I have something similar to that. I have a bit more information about it, though. on Yo MTV Raps, they used to once a week do a segment, or they would claim that day of the week was Ed Lover Dance Day. And Ed Lover had a dance that he would always get up and do, but it was always to the same song. And I think it's a song by EPMD. I could be wrong, but it's a really like a bass saxophone hook with a beat behind it, and it was used in the movie Bring It On for like the cheerleaders to dance to. So it's the kind of thing, like, if you heard it, you'd be like, oh yeah, that song. And I've been hearing it for years, and I every time, even for a second if I learn what that, it's like, oh yeah, that's the name of that song, and then I forget immediately. So I want to know the name of that song, and I want to know who's it? I want to have an MP3 of it so that I can, you know, have my own Ed Lover Dance Day moments. But the basically the thing goes,
I don't know it.
Anyway, the other thing I was going to mention is similar to the FTV thing is a show that was on. You know, once again, syndicated. This one would, yeah, usually be on the weekends, usually Saturday in the early morning or afternoon. And, it, you know, it kind of that solid gold, you know, like that kind of a time slot.
Mm-hmm.
This was called Putting on the Hits. And I don't know if it was, if there was a G in the word putting or if it was putting, but it's Putting on the Hits. And basically it was a half-hour show where it was a contest for people to do lip syncs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the general public, like you'd go and audition and be on the show, and at the end of each episode, somebody won the award for, hey, you won the award for best, you know, lip sync this weekend.
Yeah.
And the thing I liked about that show is that it wasn't just like your standard pop hits. People would show up and do lip syncs of novelty songs.
Did they?
Yeah.
I saw a lip sync show on MTV. I'm not sure if it's the same one.
No, that's not the same one. Because like the one you're thinking of is I do not think you are thinking of the thing I am thinking of. This wasn't about like, I mean, this was, yeah, early 80s, mid 80s. One specific act I do remember, somebody did the song Born in East LA by Cheech Marin.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, so like one guy was like the Cheech character and another guy was like the policeman, but like they had built like a big cardboard thing that looked like a police van vehicle, so like as Cheech is doing the beginning of the song, the other guy like carries it up, like, so he's behind it so you can't see him, so it's like a big giant van is kind of rocking its way onto the stage in time with the music, and then the guy would like prop it up so that it, you know, because it had like, it was able to stand up on its own once he put it down, and then he comes out and he's like, where were you born? What? I said, son, where were you born? I was born, you know, East LA, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Then the next part of the song is when he ends up in Mexico, but, you know, kicked out of the USA. So then the other guy, who was the cop, goes back and, like, flips some switch on the car thing, and suddenly the vehicle is transformed into a taco stand. Like, it's like, boom, it's like probably like two flaps of cardboard flipped over, and suddenly there's like a window in it, so that the guy who was the cop is now like the taco stand salesman.
Yeah.
And like, there were some other nifty little puppety things, like he picked up a marionette bar, and suddenly there were like little, you know, mariachi girls, like, you know, born, like kicking their little puppet feet in the air, born, and he's, you know, so it was like really creative stuff, you know, for just the general public to do. And the other thing I think might have started there was, ever seen a guy, well, this might have been a variety show thing, too. There was a guy that would, like, do, like, a Jackson 5 routine where, like, he was in the middle dressed up in some outfit, but then he had, like, two dummies on each side of him connected by, like, a series of poles.
Nope.
You know, with, like, their arms, all the dummies' arms are connected in the same way his arms actually are, so that he could, like, do, like, like this, like, moving,
I can vaguely visualize it, but I can't.
So, like, if he moves his arms and his feet and he dances around to the music, it looks like there's four other people next to him, or two people on each side of him, dancing in the same way. That might have started from there, too. So, anyway, Putting on the Hits, that's the other thing. Does anybody remember that? We're just past the 1 hour mark.
I just noticed our songs aren't very well spaced out, so could we possibly play a Dr. Horrible song here?
Sure.
I just meant, like, we could, like, you know, insert it later. Or we could, or I could vamp and
you can
make
vamp
the show immeasurably longer.
All right. Here's another song by Neil Patrick Harris from Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. Yay!
Disappeared is a moral dilemma, cause at first it was weird, though I swore to eliminate the worst of the plague that devoured humanity. It's true, I was vague on the how, so how can it be that you have shown me the light?
It's a brand new day, and the sun is high. All the birds are singing that you're gonna die. How I hesitated, now I wonder why. It's a brand new day.
All the times that you beat me unconscious, I forgive. All the crimes I complete, listen, honestly, I'll live. Mr. Cool, Mr. Right, Mr. Know-it-all is through. Now the future's so bright, and I owe it all to you, who showed me the light.
It's a brand new me, I got no remorse. Now the water's rising, but I know the course. I'm gonna shock the world, gonna show that horse. It's a brand new day,
and Penny will see the evil me. Not a joke, not a dork, not a failure. And she may cry, but her tears will dry when I hand her the keys to a shiny new Australia.
It's a brand new day, yeah, the sun is high. All the angels sing because you're gonna die. Go ahead and laugh, yeah, I'm a funny guy. Tell everyone goodbye.
Hey, and it's a brand new day here with Carrie reading things.
What's at that fump? Why, you can freely download the following tunes. Hookin' for Drugs by Money Shot Cosmonauts featuring the Sea Monkeys. Hookin' for Drugs in All the Wrong Places. I'm sorry, that had two lines. OMG by Project Sisyphus. Devo Spice's I'm Not Your Personal IT Guy. Everyone Should Play Vampire the Eternal by the Gothsicles.
That's another long title. You have to read the whole thing.
Well, I'm trying to read the titles first, and that's why I'm getting confused, because you have it the other way. Everyone Should Play Vampire the Eternal Struggle Because Somebody's Gotta Be Worse Than Me by the Gothsicles. Welcome Home Frank by TV's Kyle. Degrade Me Marsha Brady by Raymond and Scum. Zombie Apocalypse Barbecue by Consortium of Genius. And Elvis Porn Live by Lemon Demon.
Okay, and my name's Luke, and I have websites. Moving on. Did you want to do Weight Watch?
I'm down 25 pounds. Yay! I got a toilet paper parade when I came home from that meeting. Josh was like, he tossed toilet paper on me. But I did kind of demand in advance before I got home that I should receive one.
Okay.
A woman can demand her own toilet paper parade.
I suppose so. What shade of pink are you wearing?
It's orangey, but not as orangey as that other shirt. It's firmly in the pink family.
Okay. And now it's time for, well, this segment used to be called True Tales of Ignorance from the Caricature Stand, but since Carrie doesn't work at a caricature stand, I've been taking it to just calling it Ignorance Stories lately.
Yes.
So you had a epilogue to a previous story that you wanted to fill us in on.
Oh, yeah. If you guys remember the previous story about the Hummer-driving-looking guy whose seat is unavailable because his bag needs to be in the seat, and the Latino guys that he was palling around with, the ones that were too short for the seats that I wouldn't sit in, well, those Latino guys got on the bus the other day, and one of them started singing, "Let's plan a robbery." and then he started talking about how he wanted to rob somebody rich. Not a store, just a rich person.
Ah.
And talking about their guns or whatever. I don't know. I napped. You see how concerned for my own personal safety I am.
Let's plan a robbery. So...
They're really not threatening to me, those particular guys.
Okay.
Just something about them just doesn't threaten me.
So I wanted to tell a couple positive things that happened to me that were interesting, just so I can prove to the world that it's not all, you know,
You have a long list there.
Yeah, most of these are really short.
Okay, good.
But here's the two positive things. I was walking into Ed DeBevick's carrying my usual accoutrements, the chair, and so my hands were kind of full. And I look up and I notice people are leaving Ed's. One of them is this girl, you know, whatever, late teens, early 20s, and she's wearing a Jane hat.
Nice.
You know, the winter hat, which is orange and yellow, that Jane from
red,
the TV
orange
show.
And yellow.
Okay, red, orange, and yellow that Jane, the character from Firefly, wears, a hat he got from his mother. And, you know, you see a lot of them at the sci-fi conventions. I used one as a prop
here and there. I bought one for Josh and he lost it.
Oh, knows.
Yeah.
Sarah has one. I'd like to buy my own at some point. Anyway, so as I'm walking or going to walk in, this girl is walking out with her big group of people, family, friends, whoever they were, and right as she passes me, I say, "Shiny!"
Oh.
Shiny.
And she said, "Hey, it's a great ski."
No, it was just like, you know, so I just walk by and without, like, stopping and pointing, like, you know, like, "Look at me, I'm getting your attention. Shiny!" It wasn't like that. I didn't break stride. I didn't even, like, really turn my head to look at her. I just waited until she was, like, right next to me. "Shiny!" And then I kept walking. And, like, it was like a grenade thing. It took her a few seconds to realize, like, wait, did somebody actually just say shiny to me? You know? So then, like, right as I'm about to get to the door and walk in, I hear her say, "I love you!" And I said, "You goram right!" And then I walked in. So that was, like, really freaking cool. It made me feel bad that I had not gotten to Ed's earlier that day. I forgot what delayed me, but if I had noticed her in the restaurant with that hat, you know, I would have given her a free freaking character. It's like, "You, come here. I'm drawing you as Kaylee because you deserve it, goddammit."
Yeah.
So that was a positive thing. Another positive thing was, it's the kind of thing that this must have happened to me before, but I probably didn't realize it because when I'm drawing, I'm concentrating on drawing and not what's happening around me. But I did notice this time, some family, I was drawing their, like, two or three kids or something, and they started, you know, they get out one of their little flip jobby cameras, you know, digital whatevers, and started filming me while I'm drawing. So it's like, wow, they like my stuff enough, or they like me enough that they're, you know, documenting this event. So,
yeah.
So, like, you know, as I'm drawing, I'm like, you know, perhaps as long as this is being filmed, I should mention my website.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, sure, go ahead." I'm like, "Yes, artbyluksky.com, blah, 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 blah," you know, and kind of did a cheesy plug for myself as I was drawing it. And they claimed they were going to throw it up on YouTube, but they didn't contact me or email me. So it could be up. It might not. I don't know.
Well, you need to enter your name into YouTube and see what interesting things come up.
I've learned that there's a term for that when you're looking for yourself, other than, you know, "Where's Poochie?" is doing a vanity search.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I heard that term used on Mishki last week.
Oh, I do those. I mean, don't you? Doesn't everybody?
I don't know. I don't like dealing with the inner turmoil drama of finding people saying, "Hey, you fucking suck," even though I know that it's
the internet.
Well, I
don't go to, like, read their comments, because I know there's a lot of, you know, "That fatty fat is a fatty fat fat fat" comments on my cake video from MarsCon, but I don't like read them because I value my, you know, inner.
Yeah,
I value.
I know Sarah
not
has a
myself.
Sarah has a thing set up with my website to, like, catch references to me, like, or if people link to thegreatlukeski.com, you know, it'll notify her so that she can let me know of interesting places, like, "Oh, I was mentioned here" or whatever. So anyway, you know, so there could be a YouTube video of me drawing at Ed DeBevick's, so I don't know.
Now you have six more? Dear God.
Well, these are pretty short. So, little girl comes up to me, "How much does this cost?" $5. She walks away. She comes back, like, 2 minutes later, she's holding a quarter. And she's, like, holding it out to me, like, "Eh? Take this quarter and draw me? I just told you it was $5.
I'm sorry, that's cute.
And I'm like, "No, I'm sorry, it's $5. And then she went away. So that was that.
That's cute.
Where is it? I don't remember what this meant, so forget that.
Okay.
In the weird names department, somebody, her name was Yasmin, which I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
She decided to spell it, or her parents decided to have it be spelled Y-A-Z-Z-M-Y-N-E.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you people thinking?
Oh, crap, where are those things?
That's truly horrifying.
This, well, I'll save that for the next episode, because I don't want to dig those out now. I forgot to. All right. At Key Lime Cove, you know, a couple times a year, they'll do, like, employee parties, you know, where, you know, it's kind of like their holiday party for Christmas, except they do it in January when they're not as busy. You know, and the people who I am in contact with will usually contact me saying, hey, will you come out and draw for free at our employee party? And I, if I'm not busy, I will usually do that because the employees there are nice to me and I want to be nice to them. So I went out last Wednesday, I think it was, and I drew there, and it was like a 3-4 hour event. And, you know, most everyone's pretty cool. There was, and this is kind of, I've seen this behavior in like 9-10 year old boys at like, you know, big public picnics where I was paid to be there for 10 hours, where kids come back and keep getting themselves drawn over and over again because, you know, they're bored and they, you know.
And it's free.
Yeah. So the other night, the two separate people, you know, one was a man, one was a woman, kept coming back in, like, different configurations, you know, like, one by themselves, one with this person, one again with this other person. Like, these two different, you know, separate man,
so
separate woman.
So not just twice, like, multiple times.
Yeah, this one guy, you know, three times, this other woman, three times. It's like, now, 15 minutes before I'm supposed to leave, the party's over. Both of them sat down. They wanted a...
together.
They each wanted a fourth drawing of themselves together this time. And when they sat down, I looked at them and I actually said to them, I've drawn each of you three times tonight. You know, and then they started going into some explanation about, well, we were going to get one earlier together, but then this person, she misunderstood what I meant and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, bullshit, 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 bullshit. And I was just like, you know what? It's faster for me just to draw them to get them away from me.
Yeah.
So I started drawing them. And as a side note, I had forgotten, well, not really forgotten, I ran out of time to go and buy a new marker for that night. So I was basically, you know, I tried inking, milking every last bit of ink out of the good Copic markers I had left. And when those were basically, okay, fail, these are done, I basically was drawing with a Sharpie, which I used to do, and I don't like to have to go back to that, but I was drawing with a Sharpie. So basically, you know, I'm not even completely finished with the drawing. The woman gets up and starts, you know, walking behind me to look at what I've done. And then as soon as I finish it and hand it to them, they immediately get out the previous drawings, comparing and contrasting. And it's like, you know, yeah, I definitely like this one the best. So basically what it was you're there at this party. I'm there. I drove, you know, a good 30, 45 minutes out here on my own dime to draw for you for free. And you're complaining about the quality of the caricatures I'm giving you. Like, oh, I'm not doing a good enough job. Mrs. I have braid extensions coming out of my hair that swoop down and around like this. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, let me put some braids in front of my face and then try. You know, it's like, this is not freaking, you know, Barbizon model thing where we're just like, come on, baby, click. Come on, baby, click. Yes, give me some more emotion, click. It's like, I'm here on my own good fucking graces, and you people are being ungrateful caricature hog assholes.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So,
an adult to do.
Yeah, so that pissed me off. So basically, so I've decided the next time I do one of those, I am going to put a little, like, tent sign up that says, you know, I am only drawing each person here once.
Yeah, good. Okay, what's next?
You know, unless you tip me money. That's what I'll add that a little bit of like. Guy started talking to me about, like, oh, do you do parties and stuff? Yes, I do parties. Oh, what's your rate? Well, you know, the black and white Head and Shoulders with the name, I can do about 20 of those in 1 hour, and I charge $100 an hour. So basically, I'll usually add another, you know, fee for gas, depending on how far I'm traveling on top of that. But, you know, that's basically at $100 an hour. So then he says to me, like, well, how about this? I was thinking I'm going to do this party. I'm going to have a lot of other people there and stuff happening. So what if you could come out and only charge, you know, you could only charge me $50 an hour, but then you can charge whatever you want for your caricatures, and then you could keep that money.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, so basically, he's suggesting putting me in the position of me getting paid half what I usually get, and then having to talk people at his party into paying me more money.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If, like, you show up at somebody's party, oh, there's, you know, this, that happening, there's food, there's activities, and then you come to some guy, oh, yes, I'm drawing caricatures. You have to pay me, though.
Yeah, that's
kind of weird.
Think
that was bullshit and you wouldn't want to? It's like, you know, if I'm at a party, I shouldn't have to pay for this, you
know?
I
could see the logic, but as long as he lives in the Chicago area, if he lives out, like, all out
far away.
Yeah, I can't remember where he lived, but I just kind of told him I really wouldn't be into that, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He'll probably never contact me again, but... All right, this is the last one. And I can't remember if I've told you about this one. I don't think I have. At Key Lime Cove, there's these, like, round wooden tables that I usually prop one up behind my sign so that I have a place to, like, set things down. Papers, soda, you know, jackets, or even so that the customers have a place to set down their purses or whatever.
Yeah.
So just a, you know, round wooden table. I was drawing two moms and their two kids, and I draw the first kid, he's done. I start drawing the second kid. The first kid literally climbs onto the table, like, all the way on top of it, and is, like laying across it on his stomach with his feet in the air. You know, so it's like, it's not like he's just leaning on the table. He's completely on the table.
Okay.
You know, like at Sesame Street, on the table, under the table, around the... He's on the table.
Yeah.
And his face is like, you know, less than a foot from my drawing paper. So he's like on the table, leaning over, sticking his face into drawing this other kid. And because of that, or at least, maybe I'm full of shit, but I'm saying, because of that distraction... The kid I was drawing, I spelled his name wrong.
Oh.
I looked at my sheet, and I thought it was like, you know, his name was D-A-V-I-N, but the V kind of looked like a lowercase r.
Ooh.
So I went D-A-R-I-N right when I finished it, and they're like, you spelled his name wrong! And I'm like, fuck. So I just immediately took that paper, hit it behind the other one, and go to start drawing the other one, and there's the little kid's face still right there in front of me. So I decided to say in, you know, like a Pee Wee Herman kind of voice, I'm like, hey... Here's an idea. Get off of the table!
Yeah.
You know, very, you know, la 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 la, rah, you know.
Yeah, like.
Get off of the table!
You're being silly.
Yes. And the kid went like, wah, and like within a second, like, he like skittered off the table. Kid was fine, didn't have a problem with it. The mom goes, I really don't think you should be talking to my son like that.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, he was sitting on the table, on the table.
She's the one who should be...
For, like, you know, at least 2 minutes.
She should have said something to him
before. Yes. So I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I was just kidding around. And I finish up the second caricature of the kid. I spell his name right. And, you know, she basically gets all, you know, I go to give her the... I gave her the both caricatures I did of the kid whose name I spelled wrong the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was going to get a caricature of herself, and then she decided not to, and she again got bitchy with me. I really don't appreciate you talking to my son that way, and I'm going to be reporting you.
To who?
To whoever, you know. So, you know, so she, I can't even remember if she actually paid me for that second one or not, but, no, wait, I think she did, but then she wanted, she had paid me for hers, too, and I had to give her money back for that other one. I had to go get change. And then she, you know, I'm like, oh, sorry, ma'am. And I was genuinely being nice to her when I said that. And she left. So, like, within the next... Or, actually, no. There was another person waiting in line. I had a busy night that night. And, like, once that woman was far away, I said to the other girl, you know, I'm like, you saw that kid sitting on the table, right? Didn't you think... She was like, yeah, that's... You know, she's all... you know, whatever. So when I had a brief break, actually, I think I asked somebody who was waiting in line. I'm like, hey, give me just a second. I had to go talk to somebody. I went over from the arcade manager, and I went into the little back room where all the other arcade employees are, and I'm like, yeah, here's the story. Kid table. Get off the table. Eh, woman got all pissy. So if somebody comes to report this, you know, or if somebody talks to Trippy and it gets back to you, you know, this is me telling you what happened. He's like, oh, yeah, just, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we know you. You're cool, you know,
yeah.
So, like, they were totally at my side. So then I found out the next night when I, the following night, when I, at the end of the night, when I went to pay my money to Key Lime Cove, the girl behind the counter, her name is Stephanie, and she, like, she knows me. She's like, apparently someone was really pissed at you last night. So, like, she did go and report to some guy named Hank. I'm not sure I know who Hank is specifically,
yeah.
But the woman, you know, she went and bitched, and, you know, since then I've seen Christine Trippi. She didn't say a fucking thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice to know that. Even though, just basically, it's nice to know that the Key Lime Cove people are, you know, cool with me. Which is why I show up and draw for free at their parties, because they got my back. I want to do something nice for them. So,
we better do these comments or we'll end up competing for the longest show ever.
I was trying. Anyway. Well, should we just back and forth it, I guess?
Yep.
All right. Here's the comments from Episode 8, The Iron Whirligig versus the Iron Giant. Arkel says, In answer to your question to Bad Rapport listeners, I'm not someone you guys know, though it's not impossible you've heard of me before. I am friended with Luke on MySpace and have been for a few years now, where I still include the Anthony Michael Hall of Podcasting nickname. Excuse me.
Stop it. You're going to get beat viciously.
As for the origin of that name, I swiped it from the opening lines of the song Revenge of the Nerd by KJ52. The opening goes, I'm Backman, the Anthony Michael Hall of Ratman, been slammed since the debut of Miss Pac-Man. It's a fun song if the not at all subtle religious lines towards the end of it are a bit of a mood whiplash. Regarding Degrassi, you may already know that there's a DVD out of the episodes of the hit Canadian teen melodrama featuring, I shit you not, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes as Jay and Silent Bob. Yes, Arkel, I have seen that episode. I've seen that DVD. So, yes. With regards to comments, I find it funny that although, according to you, I have more downloads, you guys get way more comments than I do, as in, you get any. Ever since my buddy Jack Jaffe lost his internet, and ever since my father disowned me for rickrolling my listeners in my 30th episode, my feedback well has dried up. I have been having to maintenance call my own K7 line for the past 2 months to keep from losing it. In other words, Carrie, I wish I had your problem.
And as regarding the first comment, what I really mean is not someone who we're not personal friends with, but someone who doesn't know our music.
Someone who never heard of the great Luke Ski or Carrie Dalby and just happened to find our podcast and started listening
to
it. We're curious if there's anybody out there who falls into that category.
Okay.
Who never heard of us before finding this
chill
podcast.
Out. You're starting to have angry voice.
So you're saying that I have angry voice and that I'm explaining things too much and that I'm making the podcast longer than it needs to be by talking more.
Just chill out. Take a chill pill. Have a happy time.
All right.
Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Scott says, I'm also just a stranger who got into Dr. Demento about 20 years ago and wishes there were still more dementia in podcast form like there was a few years ago. I was surprised when you read my whole comment on one of the earlier shows. I think you should just condense the comments, not read the whole meandering note. I could take that to heart. I used to watch Jim, mostly because it was the only thing on early Sundays. The theme song and some from the show still leaps into my head every now and then. I'd love a TV's Kyle version, too. I totally flaked on that, but hopefully it's still an option to pay TV's Kyle to make a song.
I noticed on his website some notice about he wasn't taking submissions for the time being, but I don't know how old that... I don't know how old that thing was,
make
so maybe
exception.
He... Well, let's find out. Metamia says, I am loving the dramatic interpretation of each News of the Stupid story. It is a good addition to the concept. If you ever go on that road trip down historical Route 66, be sure you stop by and say hi when you reach San Bernardino. In Rialto, there are teepee hotels where they have changed the tagline from do it in a teepee to something forgettable. Of course, there is fitting in with the rest of San Bernardino slash... Of course, that is fitting with the rest of San Bernardino slash Rialto. And for Carrie, check out this website, and then there's a web link to a thing.
I'll have to check that out later.
Okay, another one from Arkel.
Arkel says, Medemia, I'm sorry, I did that wrong.
Metamia.
Metamia. I was born in San Bernardino and lived in Rialto until I was 9, so I have to say that I was not in the least offended by your remarks. Yes, I am much happier living where I am now, in Adams County, Colorado. You know what's coolest about Colorado? Not too far from Adams County, there is a Douglas County. Think on that for a sec. I don't get it.
Douglas Adams.
Oh, okay.
42. And then Metamia says, Arkel, give me 42 seconds instead. Ha-ha. Oh, yeah, so we don't hijack the comments. Happy birthday again, Luke. Thank you, Metamia.
Yeah, I think for next time, hopefully you guys will be as enthusiastic with the comments,
yes.
And then we'll edit them down.
I didn't condense anything this time because I was, you know, pretty rushed in getting everything finished in time for recording.
He was not in town this morning.
I just flew in from an undisclosed location this morning because I did things that I'm not going to divulge at this time.
Captain Nova says,
hello!
Carrie, yes, it was about masturbation I was thinking of when the first time you called Ken. Hope to hear some News of the Stupid from Rochester, New York area, and it's not about me or Shoebox.
Rochester. Tim Winslow, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, says, another fine episode. I love the comment section of the show and hope it continues as long as possible. If it gets too long, maybe just read off who commented and random ones from the list. Sorry we missed the New Year's Eve party and hope there is one next year as my holiday working will not interfere with it will not interfere this year.
Actually, this year, we're since Bill complains, no one ever goes to his New Year's Eve party, so... You know, and then he drives to Chicago to go to someone else's. So this year the plan is to go to Michigan to go to Bill's New Year's Eve party. So that's where we're going this year. Jared, assuming from the spelling, Jared Ringgold, says, yes. Luke, your mother's birthday is January 13th. So is my mother's. In fact, so is her mother's, my grandmother's. Yay for mothers.
And I hate to burst your bubble, but my mom's birthday is January 12th because we recorded the episode on the 12th, but it didn't post till the 13th.
Yep.
So, but still, that's neat. Crazy St. Louis Fangirl says, I, too, am a random person. I stumbled upon the Fump a while back and met Luke at Archon last year, making a complete fool of myself in the process. An idea for reading the comments, perhaps give us the option to post on one area, badreport.com, phone in, and hear your comment, but post somewhere else, Facebook, MySpace, email, and it will not be read in the air. Isn't that what we planned on doing? Didn't we kind of decide that, or am I imagining things?
You're imagining things.
Well, I think maybe I read this comment and decided that's what I'm doing because I'm not reading any of the email comments in this episode.
I'll read the next string.
The next three.
Randy Porter, my ex-boyfriend, Randy Porter says, I get the last comment on the episode. Face everyone who is not me. Medemia says, huh? And Randy Porter says, doe. So now you're going to have to explain that because I don't know what he's talking about.
He was posting, because these did not exist. And he posted, like, yay, I got to be the last person who commented on this episode.
Ah.
Ha ha, I win. And then Metamia said, huh? And then Randy Porter posted again to say, doe. But then again, Randy Porter again is the last commenter.
See, I thought he meant, like, you said something at the very end of the episode, and then he got the joke. And he was all proud of himself for getting some in-joke.
Oh, all right.
And finally... Not totally finally, but finally right, in this
I'll,
particular
I'll read this
papers.
One. This is an episode somebody commented to episode 5, went by the handle of Jay Chapman. I didn't recognize the email address. I do know a couple people with the last name of Chapman, but I don't think this is either of them. And it's a comment strongly disagreeing. It's not, I don't believe this would be trolling. Or that kind of negativity, but it is somebody basically telling me that I'm wrong and stupid. So
no,
here we go.
It's not trolling. I read it.
Jay Chapman said, people write off films like Alvin and the Chipmunks because they actually do look terrible. It has nothing to do with writing off anything produced by Hollywood. I did see Alvin and the Chipmunks, and it was an awful movie. The writing was terrible, the humor was gimmicky and uninspired, and it was just not a good film at all. The only enjoyment one could get out of it is purely nostalgic, which seems to be why you enjoyed it. To me, I say, oh, yeah, Jay Chapman, well, you're probably right.
I have to go with Jay Chapman on this. I'm sorry.
I mean, it is a phenomena where it's like, if you want to like something hard enough, you will like it. Unfortunately, that didn't work for the Transformers movies. I really wanted to like
them.
I tried. It's seeing Transformers 2 that first night, I swallowed the Kool-Aid because everyone else in the crowd loved that fucking movie.
Yeah. So, thank you. I think this is going to be the longest episode, but we'll still try to wrap it up quickly so that it won't be way longer.
Well, how about this? Let's read the iTunes review at first, and then I'll cue these up.
Okay. This is our new iTunes review from Terpet. Disclaimer, I am not friends with Luke and Carrie. If you enjoy silly banter, this is the podcast for you. Luke and Carrie sound like my own friends chatting and listening to the occasional parody song. I've only listened to a few episodes, but they've gotten me through long, boring days at the office. I hope the podcast continues to improve and has a long run of broadcasts. 4 stars. Woo!
Yay!
If you want to be cool like Terpet, you can log into iTunes and leave us a review.
Thank you, Terpet. I have never heard of Terpet, so...
Well, Terpet states that Terpet is not a friend of ours.
Put the headphones on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Terpet.
Where are they?
I don't know. They're your headphones.
Well, they're not mine.
Well, you're the one using them.
Okay.
I believe we have 3 Google voice messages. The first one, I believe, is somebody intentionally saying weird shit.
Just to see what happens?
Yes,
okay.
And I don't know who it is, but here we go.
The fuzzy potato is munching upon a fuzzy ukulele, which is equally fuzzy as fuzzy potato is not as fuzzy as the fuzzy ukulele. Therefore, the fuzzy ukulele, which aforementioned was equally fuzzy, is a snob. Poor potato.
I don't know. Sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay.
So, and Google Voice interpreted it as being... I'll let you read it because you're closer.
Okay. The phone with the take it was munching up on. He's probably you put it at 8, which is equally fuzzier. I was supposed to do it is not this poise. I have...
Posey.
I have the for the you Connecticut's that you... For the you because I have which phone mention work equally public... Publix, this is this job call, but I need to know.
Nice.
Okay, this next one appears to have been just an error, some kind of phone error with ambient noise, so it sounds like this. Okay, Google Voice interpreted that as just want to have you.
Ooh.
So when I first saw that, I'm thinking, okay, is one of the wenches pranking me here, saying, just want to have you, and I listen to it, I'm like, that isn't that at all.
I don't know what that was.
Wah, 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 wah. Okay, and this one, here's this one.
Okay.
Hey, Rookski, this is Draconis from New Jersey. Great shows you've been doing. I'm wondering, since you're a fan of Disney so much, what you think of the Disney Kingdom Hearts games, and who would you and Carrie want in those games? More excellent shows, please. Later.
So should we address the question first or read Google Voice first?
Let's read Google Voice
okay,
first.
I'll do this one. Hey, look, Ski. This is Nick of This in New Jersey. Great shows you've been doing. I'm wondering, since you're okay, Disney so much... Disney so much with what you think of the Disney Tim Parks games, and who would you and Carrie want in the same work phone answers, please, later.
Well, alrighty then.
What did he actually ask?
He was asking about what we think of the Disney theme park games, and you know what? I'm not specifically sure what he's referring to. I know that there are things online like Virtual Magic Kingdom. I know that there's Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean Online, which is kind of a, mock-up World of Warcraft kind of thing. So I'm not sure specifically what you're talking about. I do remember a PlayStation racing game where that came out, 10 years ago or so, where it was, you got to be, Chip and Dale and a bunch of other little cartoon animals racing through all these it's like Mario Kart, except it was themed on the Disney theme parks. And that was a pretty cool game.
I can honestly say I've never played a Disney game, and that I pretty much never play any video games.
So I've seen Steph play Virtual Magic Kingdom, and that seems neat and all, but
that's a neat idea.
And I'm not even
what you've said.
I think the person said his name was Draconis
or Nokomis.
Please let us know what your name is so I can make sure I get it right. But be more specific. Let me know what you're talking about, and. I'll give you a response, because this could be something new that I haven't heard about. But I usually try to keep my ear out for new Disney theme park-related things. Speaking of which, Stephanie and Thor, my good friends, are flying out to Disney World for a vacation today. So I am jealous of them, because they get to be in Disney World. And
I'm not jealous at all. I'm happy to go to work.
Yay! So, is that it for the show?
Oh, you didn't play another... Oh, that's an old one. Okay, never mind.
Comments... Yeah, I think we're about done, except for playing one more song.
And playing an outro and reminding people to make more comments. And don't feel shy. We won't necessarily read it, so comment all you like.
Yes, please make comments to the website. Yeah, I guess that's the new rule if we haven't established this yet. If you make a comment on the comment page on the Bad Rapport website, we'll read that on the air, or that will be the... We're likely to read that on the air. If you leave us a Google Voice message, we are very likely to play it. And if you, do an iTunes review, we will likely read that. But if you want to contact us and have it not be read on the air, then use the email address, badreport@gmail.com.
And the Twitter feed, badreport.
And there's the Twitter, and there's Facebook. So that's all of that. So this has been the end of episode 9. of Luke and Carrie's bad rapport.
Does that mean I finally get to eat dinner?
Yes.
Yay!
And we're gonna go out with another Neil Patrick Harris tune. This is the opening number from the Emmy Awards that he hosted. So, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
You've been listening to Bad Rapport.
It was bad.
And it was rapport-y. Peace, we out.
Please welcome your host for the evening, Mr. Neil Patrick Harris.
Put down the remote, 'cause this song what I wrote is a welcome you should not miss. Put down the remote. Every note from this throat is like a not-to-be-TiVo'd kiss. Don't touch that dial. Yes, it's been quite a while since the dial was in style, but you know what I mean. Don't jump online, 'cause this fine mug of mine needs a huge high-def screen. Turn off that phone, 'cause I want you alone for the treasures I've got to share. Don't hit that fridge, oh boy, let's abridge your sweet derriere. Don't flip that switch, aren't you curious which star's got Emmy's vote? Don't hit the loo, and whatever you do, put down the remote. The stars are all here. Tina Fey, what a year. Sarah Palin, did you know wrong? Thank God the boob tuba rhymes with Tony Shalhoub, or he wouldn't be in this song. I see such legends galore, like McLean, Barrymore. Every dame looks so luscious and cool, but like next season on Idol, I'm not seeing Paula Abdul. Straight from Mad Men, there's Joan. Oh, the curve she has shown, it would make a blind man say damn. She could turn a gay straight. Oh wait, never mind, there's John Hamm. And though it's true I'm a nominee too, I'll try not to gloat. But it's a gas to be praised, and it certainly raised my quote. I know at home you got A&E, ABC Stars and Biography, NBC, BET, Fox and Discovery, ISC, Spike TV, C-SPAN and TNT, AMC, History, Disney and QVC, CBS, TBS, TBS, and I guess CNN, TV and Showtime and Oxygen. Whatever floats your boat, can't you watch it later? Yeah, you potatoes at home, don't let your fingertips roll.